praise God and praying for this meeting and reading the word, I felt to preach on 4 days in the life of Jesus. But I realized that I probably can't do 4 days in one night in a half an hour. So I'm probably just going to get to 2 days tonight, and we'll try to do the other 2 days. These 4 days are related, the last of his ministry. And we'll do 2 days tonight, God willing. I want you to come with me with Jesus for just 2 days and see what he does and listen to him and be a part of it and join the crowd. The story, I'm not going to read it. It would take too long. It's Mark's gospel. These 4 days are, I'm using them from Mark's gospel. The last 7 verses in the 10th chapter and first 11 verses in the 11th chapter. The story is, this is the end of his life. The last city that Jesus visits on his earth before he goes to Jerusalem is Jericho. And Jericho is about 17 miles from Jerusalem. And he's on his way to Jerusalem and coming from Jericho, and it says, you know, you think of Jericho as down, but really Jericho is north, but it's by the Dead Sea. It's about 17 miles to Jerusalem, and it's going to Jerusalem, it's going into the mountains. Jericho is by the Dead Sea, flat, arid, tropical, and a totally different atmosphere than Jerusalem. He's coming into this city. And he has had such incredible miracles at the end of his life. They've been all the way through. But now Lazarus has been raised from the dead already. And the news is spreading. And there is tremendous opposition as well as tremendous enthusiasm. And the crowds are dividing. The opposition is planning his destruction. And they're teaching in the synagogues and everywhere, don't believe him. They're lying about him, telling the people, don't believe him. He's an imposter. Do you know what he said? He could destroy the temple and build it in 3 days. And he was speaking of his body. And they lie about him. And they say he's a blasphemer. And the rabbis and the leaders are all really against him now. And it's powerful. And they're spreading this all through the ranks. But along with that, the great miracles and the power of God. So there's a vast crowd that are coming and are gathering around him and that are following him and watching the miracles and are believing in him. And this mixed situation is where he is when he comes to the last city that he's going to visit before he goes to Jerusalem for the final week of his life. This is situation today we're talking about tonight, I want you to visit with me, happened probably on a Thursday and Friday, either the Thursday or the Friday before he goes to Jerusalem and has a tremendous experience on Saturday and the days that are followed will follow him. So this is a Thursday or Friday of the last week before he gets to Jerusalem. And he's got to walk this 17 miles. He can do it in a day. It's take him about 8 hours or 9 hours to do that, 7 to 9 hours to do it, according on how many folks are walking with him. And he comes to the outside, inside Jericho. He has the miracle of calling Zacchaeus from the tree, but that isn't recorded in the gospel we're doing tonight. But that happens. That tremendous miracle. This is a multimillionaire, a tax collector, and he goes in through Jericho, and he's in the city of Jericho, and Zacchaeus is up in the tree because the crowd is so big, and he's a small man that can't see him. And Jesus calls this tax collector that everybody is shocked because a tax collector is like a robber. They are hated, despised. And Jesus calls this great, the leader of the tax collectors. He's in charge of the tax collectors and takes the chief one and says, come down. I'm going to have dinner with you, Zacchaeus. And the people are shocked. But Zacchaeus is thrilled. And Jesus speaks of him and goes and he says, now he's the money man. And he says, now, Lord, since you've called me, I'm going to give half of what I've got to the poor. See, he's thinking about money. He's a money man. But God touches his money and he says, I'm going to give half of it away. And if I've robbed anybody in collecting the wrong taxes, I'll pay them back fourfold. His heart is touched and goes through the city. This great crowd is now with him. It says, a great crowd, a tremendous crowd are following. Many of them are watching him. There's spies in this crowd. There's all kinds of people. Most of them are really for him, but they have sent people to watch and see what's going on, his enemies. They're all there. All the 12 apostles are there. And Judas is already on a wavering course. And he's walking out of the city and the crowd is screaming. There's incredible excitement. And he's walking on the road outside, just at the edge of Jericho. And there's a blind beggar, the bottom of the barrel, a blind man. But some blind people aren't beggars. Some blind people were all right. Some blind people had substance, whether they inherited or so forth. This man is the worst, the lowest. He's a beggar. He's filthy. And he's sick. And he's sitting by the roadside. And the crowd is coming. And he, you know, I love blind people because I was raised by a blind woman. My mother was an incredible woman, going and praying for people, preaching and going all the time. I had a blind aunt, Aunt Florence, that raised me. And she was ugly, but she was beautiful to me. She was, because, you know, when you're blind, her eyes are white and her eyes were always going like that. And she had no hair much because she had scarlet fever when she was a baby, lost her eyesight, twisted her face, lost her hair. But I loved her. She was wonderful. She was, you know, I didn't have any father, but I was, don't feel sorry for me. I had two mothers. Praise God. That's incredible. Praise God. And Aunt Florence was so close to me, and she was there when I was born and held me. When Mama was away, she was always there for me, and I was the youngest, and she took care of me, and she and I were really close. I was her eyes. I walked with her to church. I walked with her wherever she walked, and I never, when I think of it now as a man, I think I was so trained and I loved her so much that we could walk and you wouldn't know she was blind. I knew how to tell her to step up, step down out front, step over here, do this, do that. And sitting together, she would ask me questions like, what is red like? What is blue? What is red? Is it rough? Is it smooth? Well, you can't tell color to a blind person. I said, Aunt Florence, I can't tell you. I just can't tell you what it is. But we were close, but she was, her eyes went like this, and I can picture old Bartimaeus sitting there, his eyes white and not, can't focus, and he's in rags, and he is the worst. The terrible, terrible complex, inferior, put down. And he hears the crowd, and he says, what's going on? What's going on? And they say, it's Jesus of Nazareth. Now, Nazareth is a long ways from where he is. That's way up north. He is way down here by the Dead Sea. And he says, the prophet is here, the healer, the man that heals people. He's coming. And the crowd is talking, whether Jesus is talking or what all. But there's a tremendous excitement in the air. And he's sitting there. And when he feels he's getting close, he hollers, Jesus! Of Nazareth, have mercy on me. He's crying. They say, shut up. Keep still, you beggar. And it says they threatened him. And they told him, keep still. And the more they said, shut up. He said, Jesus. He screamed, Jesus. And he's hollering. He can't. He's sitting down. And he's got to holler loud. And people are telling him, keep still. We're trying to hear what's going on. And he cries, the more he cries, and he's crying and he's screaming. He knows it's his only chance. It's his only chance. If he doesn't get help now, there's no help. And he desperately cries from the depths of his being and he hollers, Jesus, have mercy on me. Have mercy on me. thou son of David. And the more he cries, they keep saying, shut up. And he cries out more. And Jesus shocks them. He hears him. Now he's sitting by the roadside. Jesus comes right by him. He's sitting right there. And the crowd is coming. And Jesus says, stop. Tell that blind man, tell that man that's screaming, come here. Well, they have to help him up. Now, all of a sudden, the people that are yelling at him have to help him. And he throws his coat off to one side. He throws his coat down. And they help him. And he, you know, when you're blind, I can't focus, you can't focus, you can't. You don't know, just you have to listen. You try. Your head always goes like that because you're going by your ear, not by your eyes. And he's trying to get over to Jesus. And when he gets close, he's standing there. The crowd hushes. Rags. Beggar. Filthy. Smelly. Jesus looks at him with compassion. With love. And says, what would you like me to do for you? What would you like? What do you want me to do for you? Ah, he says, there's so many things he needs, but he says, that I could see, that I can see. And Jesus touches him. The other gospel says he touches him. And when he does, his eyes open. And he screams, I see, I see, I see. And the crowd goes wild. This ragged, he's screaming, I can see. They know him. He becomes a famous Christian. Most people's names are recorded that are healed. But everybody, his name becomes famous. Blind Bartimaeus joins the crowd. Jesus says, you can go. He goes, he gets in there with him. He's going to be with him now through the next few days of his life. John Bartimaeus comes. Now, Jesus is saying that he is as real tonight and is as near as he was to Bartimaeus. He's just that real tonight. He is the same. He has not changed. He has compassion. The same compassion he had on Bartimaeus, he's got on you tonight. And if you have an inferiority complex and Satan has lied to you and yelled at you and you've had problems and he has said, God won't do anything for you. Shut up, don't you? That's the voice of the devil. And it still says it today. Satan is saying the same thing. You keep still. You're unimportant. You don't matter. Your life, you're a nobody. You're a nobody. But I've got news for you. If you're here and you think you're a nobody tonight, Jesus Christ will stop the whole thing to touch you and to reach out his hand to you and to say to you, get up. Hallelujah. I've got something for you. I can heal you. I can help you. And he is saying, what do you want me to do for you? You've got to be specific. You've got to say it. Hallelujah. Jesus knew what he needed, but he wants you to say it. He wants you to call like Bartimaeus. Down through the corridors of time, his voice echoes. Tonight, it's just as real. He says, what do you want me to do for you? Mr. Bartimaeus, Miss Bartimaeus, in this audience tonight, that you have needs, I want you to cry out. I want you to forget the voice of the devil and forget the people that are around you and forget your circumstances and all the things the devil is telling you that you don't count and God won't do it for you. It's a lie. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hallelujah. 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 He wants you to cry out. Hallelujah. He's saying to you, what do you want me to do for you? He's got the power. He's got it. He's the same. And Bartimaeus is no different than you are. And he loves you as much as he loved Bartimaeus. You're just as important as Bartimaeus. And he's just as powerful tonight. And he's saying the same thing tonight. What do you want me to do for you? Ask him. Tell him. But you got to get desperate. You got to forget, put all that stuff aside. All the devil saying, well, you, for the reason, whatever it is, you're this and you're that and because of this and because of that. Oh, no, no. All those voices are still here. The devil's still saying the same thing. Shut up. But you tell the devil to get out of the way. Hallelujah. That you're going to call on Jesus. Hallelujah. Cry out the more. We were in a mission, our first mission, and we had 48 broken chairs. Not all broken, but terrible chairs. 48. They lean this way, little old folding chairs that way, and just rickety little old chairs, filthy rug on the floor, terrible light in the ceiling, brown paint on the walls. The place smelled terrible. We had just gotten there. We had about 15, 20 people. Never forget the meeting. It was toward the end of the war, and a young man from England had gotten saved. Was a merchant marines. And boy, the Germans had sunk so many ships of the British that being a merchant marine was just like your life was worthless. He had witnessed to a Catholic young man, an Irishman, and a Catholic had gotten saved, but he say Catholic, he didn't go to any church. Never been to church in his life. He was Irish, I guess, and that's kind of, he thought, well, he's a Catholic. He really was nothing. He had never been to a church in his life. He was in the Merchant Marines as well. And this young man witnessed to him and brought him to our mission. Now, he told him this. He said, now, we're going back on the ship after the meeting. May never get back to England. You're going to only go to church one time. And you need to get the Holy Spirit. So when you go there, you got to get the Holy Spirit tonight. That's your only chance. We're not going to be in church again. And we're going to be on the high seas. So now he says, when you go, they'll call us up to pray. And when they do, you are going to ask God and you're going to seek God with all of your heart. And you're going to ask God to fill you with the Holy Spirit because hopefully you'll get back home. They had never had any children. He was married. He's a man about 38 or 35 or something like that. So he came to church. Now, he's never been to church in his life. So we're singing. We pause. He jumps up to come to the altar. The man says, no, not yet. So we go a little while longer. He's paying no attention to the meeting. He's just waiting to go down to get the Holy Spirit. So we go a little further. We sing another song or two, and somebody testifies. We start to praise us. He starts up. He says, nope, not yet. So about four times he did that. Every time he'd jump, going to the altar, going to the front. Not yet. So finally when we went down, now he has never been to church. He don't know any of this thee and thou stuff. He doesn't know any of this fancy talking to the Lord. I mean, and he has such a brogue that I could hardly understand. I didn't think he was speaking English hardly, but he had a terrible brogue. And he is crying out. He is talking to God like you never saw anybody. They told him, raise your hands and look up, and he does it. He's crying and he is praying. He's talking. He don't see us. He don't see anybody. He is seeking God, fill me. I've got to have the Holy Spirit. I've got to have it. Give me the Holy Spirit. Fill me. Help me, Jesus. Help me. And I can't pray like he was praying. And it's a little bit warm in the store, and he takes his shirt and just brrr, and all the buttons fly off, and he strips his shirt off and throws out to one side. He's in his undershirt now. Now he's really getting into it. Praise God. And we're praying and seeking God, and all of a sudden the power hits him. He gets the Holy Spirit. God fills him with the Spirit. He's praising God. I don't even remember if we put his shirt back on him or what, but anyhow, he got out of there. He went back and became a great Christian. God did a miracle for his wife, but it was his desperation. It's that he was so desperate. And tonight you gotta get desperate. Get out of that out of casual seeking God. Bartimaeus didn't didn't casually seek God. He don't want you casually seeking God. He don't want you just a little bit of praying. Get into it. Forget everybody. Forget every circumstance around you. If you need God, if there's a real need in your life. Oh, Bartimaeus had a need, a desperate need. If you're here tonight with a great need, God is here to meet that need. He's here to meet that need. Hallelujah. 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 Come on, let's believe God. Hallelujah. Well, glory. The crowd goes, Jesus leaves Jericho and goes to Jerusalem, walks the 17 miles. We don't know whether that was on the Thursday or Friday. We know he's in Jerusalem on Saturday because of John's gospel. And John says that he got to Jerusalem on 6 days before, and he was there on the Saturday for the great ceremony that they had that night with at Simon's house. And then on the next day, Sunday, the last Sunday before the crucifixion, on that morning, that Sunday morning, he sends two of his disciples, and they are at Bethany or Bethpage, which is just around, just a little ways from the Mount of Olives, around the mountain, the backside of it. And he sends them and says, go down to the town. It probably was Bethpage. And he says, go to the town and you'll find a donkey tied with a colt. And he says, bring them here to me. Bring them here. And if they stop you, then just go there and you'll find when you get into the town, the first thing you'll see is tied right by the house. There'll be this little donkey, the donkey with a colt. And he says, untie them and bring them here. And if anybody says anything, just say, the master needs them. And they'll say, fine. And Jesus, the Nazarene, the prophet, needs them. And he says, so they go, just as he said, there is the colt and there is the donkey. And so they come and bring them down to wherever Jesus is, not far from there, to the town close by. And they are now, when they reach there, down toward the Mount of Olives, not a great distance down the Kidron Valley and up into Jerusalem. It's not far. I have been there many times, walked this distance. And they're down at the bottom of the mountain, and they're going to go up now to the Jerusalem. And the first time that Jesus has really accepted the kingship, he has told them when he was transfigured on the mountain, don't tell anybody. He's told them, you've all been wondering when you read it, why did he say, don't say anything, don't say anything. And now he accepts that he is the king. And he's going to ride in the crowd. They're there because of Lazarus being raised from the dead. They're there for the Passover. The crowd is incredible. The news, the excitement is beyond belief. And the enemy is so mad. They are mad. And they now have said, after Lazarus was raised from the dead, look, the whole crowd is going after him. And what can we do? And now they have really decided, and this will set it. Now, He is making the open display, and he brings this donkey, and he gets on the colt that no one has ever ridden on before. His feet are right down to the ground. Jesus is so lowly, just a little colt of a donkey. He is the King of Kings. He borrows a donkey. He borrows a boat to preach in. He borrows 5 loaves and 2 fish from a little boy to feed 5,000 men. He borrows a manger to be cradled in when he is born. And he'll borrow a grave to lay in. Nothing but King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Can you see him? Power to heal, to do so lowly. And they throw their garments on him. And the disciples, probably the first ones, put their garments on him. And others throw their garments down. And the young people run and others run. And everybody is excited and pull the branches down. And they begin to holler to him, "The King of David, our King is coming. Hosanna in the highest." And the praise is spontaneous. And the volume is tremendous. He walks through the valley and into the temple area. And the children are screaming and praising God. The healed old Bartimaeus is there. Praise God. He's there. The woman with the issue of blood is there, no doubt. Lazarus is there. All of his crowd are there. You can join him and see their crowd. Are there somewhere? And all of the people that are healed. The boy, this young man that's raised from the dead, his folks are there. And there's such a crowd of miracles that you don't know about that he's healed. And they're screaming, "Hosanna, Hosanna," spontaneous, and the place is rocking. And when they get into the temple, the children are praising God. The children are praising God. And my, the anger of the priest when they see this mob, and here they see, "Do you hear what they're saying? Do you hear?" And meaning he should stop, he says, "If I should say to them, stop, the stones would cry out. The hills would cry out. The stones would cry out." Spontaneous praise. I thank God for a couple of Sundays ago when we had that spontaneous praise. There's nothing like spontaneous praise from the depths of our being. Hallelujah. Jesus said it has to be. There has to be. He's worthy of the praise. He said if they don't, he meant that. The stones themselves will cry out. He is to be praised. He is worthy of our praise. Of spontaneous praise from our heart to come to him. Hallelujah. He wants the praise from the old people. He wants the praise from the men and the women, the elderly. They can praise God from experience that no one else can. There's a praise from the elderly that nobody else can give. There's a praise from the women that no man can give. It was the women that washed his feet. It was the woman that was there standing at the resurrection that he appears to first as Mary Magdalene. There is a submission and a love and a praise from women that men can never give. He wants to hear the praises of the women. There's a praise from the young men. "I have called you because you're strong." There's a strength and a power in a committed man that no one else can give. He wants the praise from the young men, and he wants it from the old, and he wants it from the women, and he wants it from the children. The children cried out. Do you know children can praise God with an innocence that nobody else can? There's an innocence and a sincerity. He wants everybody to praise God. He wants us to thank him for what he's done. He wants us to turn loose and to let our being reach out to him with volumes of praise. Hallelujah! 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 I want to walk with him. I want to walk with him down the valley and into the city and into the temple and watch him praise God and join with the host. And someday we're going to be caught up as we sang, and we're going to hear the praises that we've never had. I can't praise him the way I ought to. I can't praise him. It's not enough in me. But someday I'll be able to praise him the way I ought to praise him. Hallelujah. 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 He has redeemed us from every nation and kindred and tribe. He's washed our sins away. He's forgiven us. He's healed us. He's kept us. He's strengthened us. He's filled us with his Spirit. He's given us hope, hope, hope. And someday we're going to see him. Hallelujah. Let's praise him tonight. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah.
Let's stand together, beloved. Hallelujah. Give God thanks for this word tonight. There's got to be something in our heart where we cry out to God. There's got to be a desperation. we cannot just sit back and just think God is just going to do it. No, there's got to come a cry in our hearts that we want this from God. And tonight I'm going to invite you from the balcony. If you've got a cry in your heart, there's something that God has put within you that you want to just cry out to Him and see God meet that need. Just step out from your seat from the balcony. Just come on down. We'll wait for you. If you're in the annex, just get up and make your way here. In the main floor, we're going to invite you. Just get out of your seats right now. Just start coming to this altar. There's got to be something in the heart that causes us to cry out to Him. There's got to be that something within us. And folks, this is the kind of prayer that God loves to answer. These are the kinds of prayers when somebody just stands and they can't keep you quiet. There's something on the inside that cannot keep you quiet. There's a cry in your heart that you want God to come through for you. Beloved, tonight, this is the cry. This is what God is looking for. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He can get the, as Pastor Crandall said, the rocks can cry out to God. If people don't, the rocks can. But He's looking for men and women who will unashamedly just step out from where they are. Come before a living God. You're coming before a God who holds the universe in the palm of His hand. He controls everything in His concourse. And God can control everything about your life. Hallelujah. Everything about your life is in the hand of Almighty God. He wants to reveal it to you. The Holy Spirit has come to reveal it to you. Hallelujah. But there's got to be a cry. Just come out of your seats. Just come and stand before God. We're going to sing a song tonight. And as we worship the Lord, don't care about the person on your right. Don't care about the person on your left or the person behind or the person in the front. You raise your hands and you say, God, I'm meeting with the King of Kings and I'm meeting with God. Let the cry come from the innermost part of your being. And you watch, the Holy Ghost is going to begin to answer those cries that are deep down within you. The Holy Spirit will begin to give those answers to you that you've been longing for. It may not come the way you think, but God is going to do it tonight. Amen. Hallelujah. 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 Raise your hands as we worship God and expect a miracle. If you don't expect a miracle, you'll never see the miracle. You expect great things from God, and God will do great things for you. Hallelujah.
If you're in this sanctuary tonight and you need forgiveness of your sin, that's the greatest need you'll ever have. Jesus will forgive you if you will ask for forgiveness. If you will want to turn from sin, to receive the fact that He died on a cross for you, if you'll open your heart tonight, He'll forgive you. How many tonight, sanctuary, anywhere in the sanctuary, with an upraised hand could say, Pastor, that's me. I need forgiveness tonight. Raise your hand. I need to give my life to Christ. Look at the hands here. Brother, this is truly a moment from heaven, truly something of God. Just pray a simple prayer. That's all you got to do tonight. Pray a simple prayer. The Lord will receive you. Let it be a cry of your heart, though. It's not a formal religious thing. Don't be afraid to cry this out from your heart. Lord Jesus, thank You for having mercy on me. Thank You for forgiving my sins, opening my blinded eyes, putting a song of praise into my heart. I'm sorry for my sin. I'm sorry that I've lived in a way that displeases You, brings shame to Your name. But I'm thankful tonight that You loved me so much that You would die on a cross, suffer a terrible death to pay the penalty of all the wrong that I have done. Tonight, Lord, as You touch me, as You forgive me, I will follow You all the days of my life. I will be among those who lift their voices in praise, who speak about You and sing about You because You have given mercy. I thank You for this mercy. I praise You for it. I believe, God, that I am accepted with You, that I am forgiven, I'm cleansed of my sin. Oh God, I can see hope. I can see heaven. I can see a future. God, thank you. God, I praise you. Jesus, I bless your holy name. Let's praise him now. Give him praise. Give him glory. God, thank you. Hallelujah. Thank you for freedom. Thank you for forgiveness. Bless your holy name, oh God. We praise you, Lord. We lift our voices in praise. God, thank you. God, thank you. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Now, for those who prayed that tonight and you truly meant it, there are people downstairs in the lower rotunda right after this service that will pray with you if you want. They'll answer questions that you have. They have a card you can fill out if you want us to give you a call and to see how you're doing and let you know how you can grow in grace. We have a free Gospel of John to give you if you haven't got a Bible. We just want to help you get started in your walk with God. Oh, God, thank you. What an hour to be alive. What a time to be living. Praise be to God. And for those that have been touched by God tonight, don't be ashamed. Don't be ashamed to tell your friends. Don't be ashamed to go somewhere tonight and tomorrow and say, I've got to tell you what God touched me. I don't understand it all. Did the blind man know it all theologically? No, but he knew he could see. He knew that one thing. I know one thing. I've been touched by God. Praise be to God. Let's just go tonight giving thanks to God. Let's go giving praise to God.